Now, I know today that there are many people that have an interest in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they like to sit down with their little charts, and they like to get out their Bible, and they get out their little charts together, and they tell us that this is the way it's going to be. This is how the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come again. And in actual fact, many of God's people fall out over the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They said, no, it's not that way, it's this way. And of course, rather than a spiritual conversation about such a subject, we find that carnality gathers in, and the flesh gathers in. And of course, there is nearly a dispute and war, and there are many believers, and one wouldn't go to another meeting because they said, no, he looks at it differently, and he doesn't know the way it's going to be whatsoever. Now, in the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, there were those that were interested in getting the chart, as it were, put right. And you know, they were anxious to know concerning the kingdom of God. And they said, when the kingdom of God should come. Now, the Pharisees, they were anxious to know that. But the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll notice in his answer, he was not going to excite, as it were, their thought process or even their present thinking. But he was reminding them of how important it was that when Jesus Christ comes, that we are the necessity to be ready. And the word of God is filled with that challenge. Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now, my friend, let me say this. But as I said, there are those who have different views upon the how and the when of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's children should not fall out over that. And I'll tell you why. If you turn in your Bible to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where it speaks about the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it tells us how that he shall come, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then the last sentence is this, wherefore comfort one another. It's not fall out with one another, but comfort one another with these words. And you know, the fact that Jesus Christ is coming again ought to bring a great comfort to the child of God. For thank God, this same Jesus, that's what was announced there in the Mount of Olives, this same Jesus shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go. But friend, in this passage of God's word, the Lord Jesus reminded them of the days of Lot, to go down to the days of Noah in verse 26, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. You see, my friend, what happened there was this. It was the suddenness of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. They weren't expecting it. They just carried on drinking. They carried on marrying wives. They were given in marriage. They carried on, my friend, just life as usual. And before they knew it, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. And then he says, likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. In other words, life was just carrying on. They weren't expecting. That occasion, the fire to descend from heaven. But it says in verse 29, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Now, friend, there's a little sentence in this chapter here that the Spirit of God has driven on my heart for the service this evening, and it's concerning the days of Lot, and it's in verse number 32, and it is just simply three words. And this is what the Lord Jesus said to those Pharisees that day. He said, remember Lot's wife. And I want to tell you, my friend, in that story of Lot, in reality, the blessed Lord Jesus directs our attention in his discourse to a particular woman, and he said, don't forget this. I want you to remember Lot's wife. Now, it's interesting in the Bible that nowhere does it tell us to remember Abraham or Isaac or Jacob. Nowhere does it tell us to remember David or to remember Joshua. They were great men in the scriptures, but it doesn't say that. It doesn't say remember Elijah or remember Elisha. And when we come to the woman, it does not tell us to remember Sarah, doesn't tell us to remember Hannah, doesn't tell us to remember Mary, doesn't tell us to remember Ruth, doesn't tell us to remember Rahab, but it does tell us to remember Lot's wife. The Lord Jesus picked out one woman, and he said, I want you to get this into your heart. I want you to remember her. I want you to remember her. Get this woman into your heart. Now, why did the Lord say, remember Lot's wife? It's because Lot's wife teaches us solemn lessons that I believe that were important for the Pharisees of that day to remember, but my friend, for us to remember this evening as well. Now, of course, we have the identification of the woman. She's simply called Lot's wife. It's interesting it doesn't tell her name. Her name is not given to us here. It just says, remember Lot's wife. Now, who was Lot's wife? Well, naturally, she was married to Lot. And therefore, let's get the background of this woman. Now, Lot, as we come to Lot in the scriptures, I believe that Lot speaks to me of a picture of the backslider. A person who walked with God, friend, but a person who went out of fellowship with God. And he has an important message to bring to us, because Lot was a person who started well. He started well. I always pray this before God, and the folks in my own congregation have heard me say this many times. It is my earnest prayer that God will help me to finish well. Because I believe it's not the first mile, it's the last mile's important. And so, friend, Lot was one who started well. Now, let's go back in our Bibles to the story in the book of Genesis, chapter number 12. And we find in Genesis chapter 12, it tells us in verse number 1, the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Look at verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. Here's these words, and Lot went with him. And so we find, as Abraham is taking this first step of faith, because he was leaving idolatry behind, friend, he was leaving his father's house and an idolatrous people, and he was going at the call of God, and God says, leave your father's house and your kindred, and I want to take you to a land that I will show you, and I'm going to bless you there. But joining Abraham was his nephew. His name was Lot. It says, and Lot went with him. Then turn to chapter 13. It says, and Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had. Because, you see, after Abram went out with God, he went down into Egypt, and he got into trouble there. But nevertheless, we'll go to chapter 13. It says, Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And so we find that Lot's mentioned once again. He's going on with Abram in his walk of faith. Now, if you look at verse number 4 of that chapter there, it tells us, onto the altar, or the place of the altar, that he had made there at the first, and there Abram called in the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. So now God has blessed him. He's walking the walk of faith, and God's blessing him, and God is undertaking for him. But friend, the truth is this, that whenever God blesses you, be very careful, because the devil will soon try to disturb the nest. And the devil will soon try to stop the unity of God's people and stop the work of God. And it says in verse number 6, the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. Verse 7, and there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot. And so we find that their strife happens. And you know what is going to happen now? Well, Abram speaks up, it says in verse 8, and Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee. If thou wilt take the left hand, he says, then I will go to the right. And he says, if you depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. Now, my friend, let me tell you, here was a man that wanted to see God work to prosper and God's people to be in unity together, that they should not be fighting the one with the other. And so we find that Abram, although God had called him, God says, listen, wherever you put your foot, I'll give to you. Abram said, listen, Lot. He said, let there not be strife between us. If you go that way, I'll go that way. If you go that way, I'll go that way. We be brethren. There's no reason for strife the one with the other. Now, what did Lot do? Look at verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan. It was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. And friend, let me tell you, instead of now having the eye of faith, he lifted up his eyes, and it was the eye of the flesh. It wasn't faith anymore. It was the eye of the flesh. And he thought to himself, where's the best land? Where's the best place for me to go? And where's the most prosperous place for me? All he was interested, it was himself. And Lot chose him all the plains of Jordan. Now look at verse number 12. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Now he's taking the wrong road. Here we find that he's been carried away with just as far as he was concerned, what was the best ground. Listen, he didn't care if it was the right place to raise his family, friend. All he was concerned was how he would be more prosperous. He got his eyes of the Lord. And the flesh entered in. And I want to tell you, dear child of God, the devil will try to get your eyes off the path of God. He'll try to get your eyes on other things. He'll try to lead you down a wrong path. And unknown to Lot, friend, he had pitched his tent now towards Sodom. That's where he's going, because his decision was influenced by sight instead of the walk of faith. But that doesn't end the story. He's now pitched his tent towards him. Go to chapter 14. And when you come to chapter 14, go down to verse number 12 because of time. It says, and they took Lot, Abram's brother's sons who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. Now notice those words there. Lot, Abram's brother's son who dwelt in Sodom. You see, the chapter 13 says he pitched his tent towards Sodom. But when you come to chapter 14, he's not pitching his tent towards Sodom. He's now dwelling in Sodom. You see, he took the first step. He took the step away from the path that God desired for him, friend. And now we find that he's dwelling in Sodom. Now, the interesting thing the Bible says, that when he was in Sodom, in 2 Peter in chapter 2, it tells us that the sin of Sodom grieved him. It grieved him. In other words, he knew it was wrong. He knew it was wrong. And yet, my friend, what was he doing in Sodom? Now look at go to chapter 19 quickly. It says, and there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. Now there's another interesting thing. Remember, he pitched his tent toward it, and then he's dwelling in it. But then he becomes a part of it, because it says he's sitting in the gate. He becomes one of the rulers. He becomes one of the judges that was sitting there at the gate of Sodom. Yes, the Bible tells us it grieved him, but alas, he stayed there. Friend, let me tell you, the plain and Sodom might have been a good place for his cattle, but it wasn't a good place for his children. But he didn't care. All he was interested, he got his eyes of the Lord. And if there's somebody here tonight, and friend, there was a time that you walked with God, but you've got your eyes of the Lord. I'll tell you this, the devil will take you further than you ever believed that you'd ever want to go. And that's exactly what happened to Lot. And he took his wife and he took his daughters and then his sons-in-law, and he landed in Sodom, and there he's sitting in the gate. Now, God was gracious to Lot, very gracious and very merciful. Because the Bible tells us there in that verse 1 of chapter 19, two angels came to Lot as he sat in the gate. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And so we find that those two angels were messengers from the Lord. And God is going to judge Sodom. God is going to rain fire and brimstone down upon Sodom. And so it says in verse number 12 of chapter 19, it says, "And the man said unto Lot, Hast thou here any beside sons-in-law, or thy sons, or thy daughters, whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." And so we find that God is going to judge it, but God is merciful to Lot. And he tells him, he says, "Have you sons here? Have you sons-in-law here? Have you family here? Get them out of this place, because God's going to judge it." So what did Lot do? Look at verse 14. "And Lot went and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law." In other words, they laughed at him. His sons-in-law laugh at Lot. Because let me tell you this, my friend. Here was a man that was called just Lot. Here was a man that, listen, the sin of Sodom even grieved him in his heart, but he not only dwelt in it, he became a part of that city and the ruling of that city. And he brought his family into Sodom, and that's where he stayed. And God tells him, get out. And he went to his sons-in-law, and he says, "Get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this." And they laughed at him. He was one as if he mocked. Do you know why, friend? Very simply this. He lost his testimony. He had no testimony. He had no testimony amongst his sons-in-law. And whenever he said, "Get up and get out of this place," but Lot, didn't you bring us here? Were you the one that brought us here? Now you're telling us, get up and get out. But no, Lot, listen, we're staying. And they laughed at him. He lost his testimony completely. Child of God, let me tell you, your testimony, my testimony is an important thing. May God preserve your testimony. Because I can tell you, the devil will try to let you lose it. The devil will try to make you lose your testimony. That whenever you warn somebody about the things of God, they'll only laugh and say, "Listen, what are you telling me that for? You're not walking right yourself." That's what they said. That's what they said. I remember one time a preacher, one Sunday, was asked to go to this congregation to preach. And after he was asked to go to preach, he went to this home for his dinner. And whenever he went to his home for his dinner, and he was sitting there, the man was one of the leading members of the congregation now in this particular place. And as he was sitting there, and they were sitting in the midst of their dinner, all he heard was an awful clash outside. Seemed to be an awful, just something was happening outside. And he noticed, as he was sitting around that table, he noticed the husband and the wife and their eyes meeting together. And he saw there was something wrong. And so they continued on in the dinner. The man excused himself and he went outside. And then he came back in and he finished the rest of his meal. At the end of the meal, they were clearing things away, and the gentleman and the minister were sitting down together. And the man there of the congregation sat, and he had tears in his eyes. He said, "Sir, I suppose you heard the noise outside." He said, "Yes, I did." He said, "But I didn't want to ask you, what was it?" He said, "I want you to come with me." And he brought him out into the barn. And there lying in a barn, he saw a young man lying in a drunken state, paralytic drunk. And he said, "Sir, that's my son. That's my son." He said, "I want to tell you a story. Many years ago, I walked with God. I used to live for God. I loved the things of God. I raised my family the best I could. And then I got my eyes of the Lord. And the devil took me back out into the world again. And when my son was in his teens, I used to take my son and we used to go to the pub together. And he said, I introduced my boy to the ways of the world. And he said, you know, I went to a meeting sometime after that and God spoke to my heart again. And God brought me back to himself. But he said, and he started to cry as a broken-hearted father. And he said, yes, God brought me back. But I left my son in the world. I left him in the world. Friend, let me tell you, that's exactly what happened to Lot. Lot, let me tell you, brought his family to Sodom. He thought it was a place to raise his cattle. He thought it was a place for him to prosper. And he destroyed his family. He destroyed his testimony. And when he went to his sons-in-law and says, get up out of here, they laughed at him. You know, it says in verse 15, go to verse 15, and when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful unto him. And the angels brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass that when they brought them forth abroad, that the angel said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Friend, let me tell you here, the angel lays hold. The Bible says that Lot lingered, even though the angel of God had warned them that the judgment was about to fall. And the word of God says Lot lingered. And the man laid hold on his hand and then took the hold of the hand of his wife and took the hand of his two daughters. And they brought them forth and set them without the city. God was being merciful to them. Let me tell you tonight, backslider, God still loves you. If you've wandered away from God, friend, and maybe you've wandered far away from God and you're far from God, if you're honest with your soul and before God tonight, you're far from the person you used to be when once you walked with God. But God's still merciful. God still loves you. The old devil tells you there's no way back. The devil's a liar, friend. There's a way back for the backslider, and let me tell you how you've got to go. You've got to walk the road of confession. You've got to walk the road of confession. Confess your sin. Just like a sinner, you've got to confess your sin and repent of your sin. And thank God he will have mercy upon you. He will abundantly pardon for those that return unto him. And so the Bible tells us that the angel laid hold not only upon Lot, but the angel of God laid hold upon the hand of his wife and hastened them out of the city and said, escape, for thy life, look not behind thee. Stay not on the plain. But what does the word of God say? Go on down the chapter, friend. The Bible tells us in verse 26, but his wife looked back from behind him. And she became pillar of salt. And the Spirit of God says, don't forget Lot's wife. There's a lesson here. What lesson do you learn about Lot's wife, friends? Let me give you the lessons, just four simple lessons, or rather three simple lessons. First of all, notice her privilege. Notice her privilege. You see, Lot's wife was a privileged woman. In Sodom, there was no Bible. In Sodom, there was no preachers. Were no preachers. In Sodom, there were no churches, no evangelists, no tracts. And few people in that city were familiar of the living God. Most of the people lived in darkness. They lived in ignorance. They lived in superstition. They lived in idolatry. They lived in immorality. But Lot's wife, she couldn't say that. Because Lot's wife knew about God's call to Abraham. She knew that God intervened in Abraham's life. And Lot's wife went with him. She knew about Abraham's altar. She knew also her husband at that time walked with God. She had been faithfully faithfully warned by God. She was not only faithfully warned by God, but here we have in verse 16 how that a special visitation of God, the angel of God, laid hold upon her hand. For she, like Lot, lingered. And there was a special visitation of God himself with his angel. She heard what God was going to do. She heard, "Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in the plain." She heard the message clear and plain, friend, and she understood it. And she felt the tug of the angel that God has sent. She was faithfully warned. And I believe there are people tonight, perhaps even in this meeting, that are unsaved, friend, but you have been faithfully warned. Maybe you've sat under a faithful gospel preacher. You've gone to gospel meetings just like this. Maybe you're cradled in the gospel as a child. You know exactly what I'm talking to you. But tonight you're still not saved, because even though you're faithfully warned, you're still without the Lord. She was faithfully warned. She knew the way of escape. Verse 17, "Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." She knew the way. She knew the way of escape. And when God tells us something, then it's our duty to obey. But you know, it's possible for you to know all of this, still not be saved. I remember a wee man that whenever we were starting the work in Macrofelt, a wee man, he was a Church of Ireland man in Macrofelt. And whenever we were putting up the first little church, the little corrugated building, I don't know how it was that it came round that he came out, but he came out and helped us to put up that first building. Helped us to put in the posts, and helped us to put on the corrugated iron, helped us to build that building. But George wasn't saved. George used to be a caretaker of the Christian Workers Union Hall in Macrofelt. George wasn't saved. He had a lot of knowledge about spiritual things, friend. But he had no Savior. And many times George came to those meetings, and thank God he was good. I remember whenever we were building that, and I wasn't married at the time, and I had no place to stay in Macrofelt at that time. And George said, "Listen, come and get your dinner at our place. I can see me sitting in his front room and getting my meal there, and then we'd go back up to the church." George wasn't saved. He didn't belong to us. But God had him there for a purpose. Over years, he sat in gospel meetings without the Lord. And then one night, I can remember well, I was preaching in the Tin Hut. And the final part of the meeting, I give a gospel invitation for if there's anyone that wanted to come to Christ to indicate their desire. Sitting right at the back row, there in the middle seat, there were a little island between, there were seats here, there were seats there. Sitting in the back row, George was sitting, having sat for a number of years. I had many years at gospel meetings before that. Thank God when the invitation was given that night, George raised his hand. As her head were bowed, I invited George to come down the aisle and go into the little inquiry room. I finished the meeting. I went back into the inquiry room to lead George to Christ. And I says, "George," I got my Bible open, and I says, "George, now we're going to call on the Lord." He says, "I'm saved." He says, "The work's done." I says, "You're saved?" He says, "Yes, I am." He says, "While I was waiting for you to come," he says, "I fell on my knees and I called on God to save me. And God's done the work." Listen, he knew the gospel. God had written in his heart for years, friend, but he had not received it. But that night, God had saved him. I says, "George, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll get down on our knees anyhow and we'll thank God for saving you." And we got down on our knees together, and George thanked God for saving his precious, never-dying soul. And friend, to the day God called George Mawinney home, George walked with God and loved the Lord. Yes, she knew the way of escape. But you see, friend, it's possible for you to know all of these things. It's possible you know to know the gospel. It's possible for you to know that Christ died for your sins, that he shed his precious blood to cleanse you from your sins. It's very possible for you to know even God's way of salvation. Yes, she knew the way of escape. Escape for thy life. Look not behind you. Don't stay in the plain. Escape to the mountain. She knew it all. But God says, remember Lot's wife. Because there's many a soul in hell tonight. They knew the gospel from A to Z, but they never yielded their heart to Christ. And they went out of gospel meetings, still unsaved and unconverted. And before they knew, just like the twinkling of an eye, friend, they were out in God's eternity, in the fires and flames of a lost sinner's hell. Yes, she was faithfully warned. And so are you. She knew the way of escape. And so do you. She knew the urgency of it, friend. She knew the urgency of it. Look at verse number 22. Haste thee! The angel once again says, haste thee! Escape thither! For I cannot do anything till thou come thither. Become thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. And over again she hears this. Escape. Haste. Don't delay! Don't linger another second. Yes, it says, she lingered and so did Lot. The angel took her and dragged her out of the city. And then when she got out of the city in the plain, he says, don't stay in the plain. Haste, escape to the mountain. Haste thee, escape thither. And yet it says, she looked back from behind Lot. You know what that means, friend? Lot was hastening to the place of safety. But she was lingering. She lagged behind. And is it not true that it is very possible for some of your family to get saved and run to Christ, friend? And for you to linger behind. Maybe you're promising yourself another meeting, another time, another mission. I remember a wee man that I led to the Lord in Macrofelt. I was going to hold a mission in Ardara, in the County Down. I remember going into that little mission and the man stopping with Macrofelt and he said, Mr. McRae, my sister's in Ardara, and I hear she's attending the mission. Mr. McRae, before you leave, would you ask her if she's saved? It was the last Sunday afternoon of the mission. I remember standing at the door and shaking hands as the last people were going out, and this wee lady came along, and I said to her, you're Tommy's sister, aren't you? She says, yes, I am. She says, you know, I was talking to Tommy. I led Tommy to the Lord, you know. She says, yes, I heard that. And you know, Tommy told me to ask you, are you saved? You see, Tommy's burden for you that his sister would be saved. And she said these words to me. She says, Mr. McRae, I believe you're having another mission in Bambridge soon. Maybe then. And I held the mission in Bambridge, but she wasn't there. She was in God's eternity. I'll wait till the mission in Bambridge. She was like Felix, who trembled under the preaching of a godly man called Paul. But Felix only trembled. That's as far as he got. And he went to hell. That day he trembled, he said these words to Paul. Go thy way for this time. When I have a more convenient season, I'll call for you. When I'm ready, Friend, that was his convenient season. And I say this to you. If you're not saved tonight, I cannot promise you tomorrow night. Come back tomorrow night. Because God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. But I can promise you, if you call upon the name of the Lord tonight, you'll be saved. Because it says, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. She knew the urgency of it, friend. She heard it. Escape! Flee! Haste! She didn't even walk with Lot. She just lingered behind. There's something else. Remember Lot's wife. Because not only was she faithfully warned, not only did she know the way of escape, not only had she been told the urgency of it, but she, like Lot, were the subject of Uncle Abram's prayers. Abram had prayed for her. You say, how do I know? Abram's wrestling with the Lord. Turn to chapter 18. And he's crying out to God for sparing Sodom, because Lot was there. Verse 23, chapter 18. And Abram drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure, if there be 50 righteous within the city, wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place? And then on down the chapter he says, Lord, if there's 45 there, will you destroy the city? And then he said, if there's 40 there, will you not spare it? And then he said, if there's 30 there, will you not spare it? He says, if there's 20 there, God, will you not spare it? He's crying to God, and he says, God, oh, let me speak verse 32. Let the Lord not be angry. I'll speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And God says, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way. As soon as he's left communing with Abram, and Abram returned unto his place. Listen, friend. But the sad reality, there weren't 10 righteous people there. I've often wondered, Abram, why did you stop at 10? Why did you not say, God, if there's one there? She had been subject to Abram's prayers. But God says, remember, that's why she was lost. Maybe there's someone here tonight. Maybe there's a child here, a son, maybe not by age, but you're somebody's son. Maybe you have a godly mother, maybe they're in the glory. And that woman never closed her eyes at night, put her head in the pillow, but before that she bent the knee and cried to God for the salvation of your soul. I know what it is, friend. For I used to sit outside my mother's bedroom door, and I heard my mother pray. And I heard my mother pray for me. She didn't say, Lord, bless my children. And Lord, save my children. No, friend. She named us one by one. And then she came to me and she said, Lord, I'm praying for you. Maybe there's someone here tonight, friend, and let me tell you, you're still unsaved, but you're the subject of some godly person's prayer. And you're jumping over the barrier that God has put in your way to hell. The prayers of a godly loved one. But Lot's wife was prayed for. But you still rebelled against God. Yes, her privileges, her pearl. And I give it quickly. She preferred Sodom. She liked it there. It grieved Lot. But she liked it. You see what Lot did, friend? He destroyed his family in a backslidden state. He had no testimony in reality, even with his wife. She loved its pomp. She loved its pleasures. She loved Lot's power sitting there at the gate. She loved it. And the angel of God pulled her out of Sodom, friend. Listen. Her body was out of Sodom, but her heart still was there. That's why she looked back. She loved it. Let's be honest, you know why you're not saved tonight? You love your sin more than God. She preferred Sodom. But she did something else. She presumed on God's mercy. You see, she thought that she could get away with it. Just a little look. Just one look. But the angel of God says, look not behind thee. And friend, you can't rebel and walk in disobedience with God and prosper. She didn't believe that God would really do what he said. Maybe you're here tonight and listen, friend, you believe, as far as your mind is concerned, you believe there is a hell. You believe that God says that if you die in your sin where Christ is, you will never be. But you have plenty of time to get right and ready. You can do it your way. And she turned back in unbelief, hoping to get away with it. But notice her perishing. What does it say there? His wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Suddenly, the judgment fell. Read verse in Proverbs chapter 29, it says this, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Friend, if you're not saved tonight, eternity will always come too sudden. Be ready. Don't forget these words. Remember, oh, remember, young man. Remember this, dear father. Remember this, mother. Remember Lot's wife. You can't sin against God and prosper. Her judgment was deserved. It was the wages of her sin. It was sudden. It was final. And Lot went on. His two daughters. But he left his wife on the plain. Separation. I beg you tonight, listen, husband, wife. There's coming a day, let me tell you, when separation can come. You're united in time. Will you be united in eternity? Maybe a family that's not saved. Mother, if you love Jesus, Daddy, if you love the Lord, I beg you in God's name, get earnest, dead earnest with God. And live right before them. Have a testimony before them. Because Lot lost his. Even with his two daughters. He lost them too. Don't play loose with God. God's serious about sin. Are you?